right, good afternoon. Good afternoon, church. Church. I got to practice that. My name is Paul. I'm one of the campus pastors here at New Philly, Sydney. Just want to say welcome. If this is your first time or this is your first few times coming, just want to say welcome. We're glad you are here with us to worship. I'm going to share the Word of God, the message with you today. All right, let's turn to Genesis. Last week, we heard from Pastor Christian on Genesis. So I decided to stay in the same book. It's the first book of the Bible, chapter 29, starting at verse 15. Genesis 29:15. Reading from the ESV. Then Laban said to Jacob, "Because you are my kinsman, should you therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me, what shall your wages be?" Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the older was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah's eyes were weak, but Rachel was beautiful in form and appearance. Jacob loved Rachel, and he said, "I will serve you 7 years for your younger daughter, Rachel." Laban said, "It is better that I give her to you than that I should give her to any other man. Stay with me." So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed to him but a few days because of the love he had for her. Then Jacob said to Laban, "Give me my wife that I may go into her, for my time is completed." So Laban gathered together all the people of the place and made a feast. But in the evening, he took his daughter Leah and brought her to Jacob, and he went into her. Laban gave his female servant, Zilpah, to his daughter Leah to be her servant. And in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And Jacob said to Laban, "What is this you have done to me? Did I not serve with you for Rachel? Why then have you deceived me?" Laban said, "It is not so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Complete the week of this one, and we will give you the other also in return for serving me another 7 years." Jacob did so and completed her week. Then Laban gave him his daughter Rachel to be his wife. Laban gave his female servant Bilhah to his daughter Rachel to be her servant. So Jacob went into Rachel also, and he loved Rachel more than Leah, and served Laban for another 7 years. When the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. And Leah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Reuben, for she said, "Because the Lord has looked upon my affliction, for now my husband will love me." She conceived again and bore a son, and said, "Because the Lord has heard that I am hated, he has given me this son also." And she called his name Simeon. Again she conceived and bore a son, and said, "Now this time my husband will be attached to me, because I have borne him 3 sons. Therefore his name was called Levi. And she conceived again and bore a son, and said, "This time I will praise the Lord." Therefore she called his name Judah. Then she ceased bearing. This is God's word. All right, let's pray together. Father, I just ask that you would speak today to your people, God. That you would speak through me. Would you anoint this message? Pray for the anointing of your Holy Spirit. Yeah, God, and I pray that you would just reveal your heart, reveal who you are, reveal your ways to us, God, through this time that we share. So we ask your grace and your blessing upon it, that it will produce good fruit into our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So this is a familiar passage to some of you guys here. And it talks about a very relevant theme that we see just in life, in all of our lives. And one of the themes that we're going to see here in this passage is the idea of romantic relationships. Ooh, right? You guys ready for this? You know, the story of Jacob's life is filled with, it's like a Hollywood movie, right? You know, they just made a movie about Noah. It was like really, really slow and kind of boring. I kind of fell asleep through it. It wasn't that good of a movie. But, you know, they had Exodus, Gods and Kings, Son of God. You know, they have all these Hollywood movies. They usually really twist the story. They add their own stuff into it. So, but anyways, if they made a movie about Jacob, it would be so good because it'd be filled with drama and dramatic plot twists and action and deception and betrayal and revenge and irony and adventure and intrigue. Just all this stuff. It's like, oh man, would you go watch that movie? That sounds good, right? You know, if you read the story of Jacob, he lived a pretty strange life. If you actually read through the Bible and you read about Jacob's life, I love Jacob because he's so messed up. Like, from the moment he's conceived to, like, his dying days, he just does so many things wrong. Yeah, even when he's born, he's a twin. And then the older brother, Esau, Esau's coming out the womb first, and he's, like, trying to grab his ankle. He's like, no. Even before he's born, you know what I mean? He's causing trouble. He's a troublemaker, okay? The name Jacob reflects his character, deceiver. You know, even when he was growing up, his father Isaac loved his older brother. The Bible says it. Isaac loved Esau. So Isaac loved his older brother, and the mother Rebecca loved Jacob. Okay, so Jacob was kind of like a mama's boy, right? Like, you know, the father was like, "Oh, my son Esau," and then the mother was like, "Oh, Jacob," you know, like, "Help me." You know, and so even from then, he didn't get his father's love. He had issues growing up, and he was a deceiver all throughout his life. He was wrestling with his brother, trying to get the blessing of the firstborn. He deceived his own brother, right? He got his older brother to sell him his birthright for a pot of stew. He was like, "Oh, I'm going to just wait till he's really hungry. You know, he just came back from hunting. I'm going to cook this delicious stew. Hey, Esau, you hungry? Yeah, give me a birthright for that." Esau's like, you know, he's just like a jock. You know what I mean? He's just like this meathead. He's like, "Oh, I'm so hungry, whatever, a birthright, you know? So just give me that stew, I'll sell it to you," right? And so, you know, he like deception, even within his own household, but he caused so much trouble that his older brother Esau wanted to kill him. Why? Because Jacob dressed up like his older brother Esau. Esau was kind of hairy. So Jacob was a smooth man. Not like smooth, like a ladies' man, but like his skin was smooth, right? And so his mom was like, "Here, put on this hairy stuff on your skin. Go into your dad. He's blind. He can't see you," right? And like, ask him to get you. So he was causing all this trouble. His brother Esau wanted to kill him. So his mom's like, "Here, just go run away, far, far away, so your brother can't get you." Right? So this brings us to where we are in the story. Jacob's grown up, but he's been causing trouble his whole life. He can't get his father's love. Now he's away from his whole family. He's in a foreign land. He doesn't know anybody. He has no money. He has nothing. He has no connections. It's like he moved to Sydney and he don't know a thing. He don't know the language. He don't know anybody here who can open any doors for him. He has nothing. I understand what he feels like, right? But so this is where he is, and all of a sudden he's just chilling. He's just roaming, you know, the wilderness. And then he sees his cousin Rachel, just by chance, fortunately. And you can tell how emotionally distraught and distressed he is, because when he sees his cousin Rachel, he finds out it's his cousin, right? And her father is Laban, his uncle. He starts crying, like right away. And he kisses her. And, you know, it's like, "Yo, Jacob, man, just get a hold of yourself, right? You're a mess, bro." But, you know, this kind of life this is what he's going through. He's kind of down in the depths, okay? But God has a call on Jacob's life. God's going to use Jacob to bless the whole world. It's kind of like, "Oh, God, I don't really know what you're doing here. I don't know about, yeah, have you seen Jacob? Are you sure? This guy? You know, like, since even before he was born, like, God, you sure? I don't know about this guy, God. You know, Abraham, at least, like, he had some great faith and courage, but Jacob." And you look at the whole of his life, and he just, over and over again. But here we see, we come to a place where he's at his lowest point. He's down in the depths. And we see that he's about to enter into a romantic relationship or two. We're going to learn a little bit about what the Bible and what the Lord has to say to us about these things. All right, so it's pretty interesting. Man, you know what I mean? Some people are like, oh, the Bible's so boring. Man, the Bible's really interesting. This, I'm telling you, this story right now is filled with so much deception and betrayal and intrigue. It's crazy, all right? So let me try to unpack it for you a little bit. Okay, so we see here, he comes, he meets Rachel, and Rachel takes him to her father, Laban, who's Jacob's uncle. And we see here in verse 15, Laban said to Jacob, so by this point, Jacob had been working for Laban for about a month. Right? He has no money, he has no connection, he's working for his uncle, okay? It's been about a month, and Laban's like, because you are my kinsman, because you're my relative, should you therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me, what shall your wages be? It's like, oh, yeah, I don't want you to work for free. But, you know, if you're an uncle and you see your nephew and he's just really, really distraught and his life's a mess, you probably want to help him out, right? But this is what Jacob said. And then after he asked, it says, Laban had two daughters, okay? The older was Leah. The younger was Rachel. It says Leah's eyes were weak. What does that mean? She was short-sighted, and so she couldn't see really far. No, the Bible wouldn't really talk about that. What it's talking about is all the commentators say that her eyes were weak means she lacked that fire in her eyes. You know what I'm saying? Like you see a girl and you're like, oh, that, you know, I see that fire. I'm just kidding, right? But you know what I'm talking about, right? Like she was very homely. She was very not very attractive. Okay, just very, very, for lack of a better word. Yeah. Hey, hell, when you keep it real, right? She was not very attractive. The Bible here is saying she's very homely. She's kind of ugly. And her other sister, her younger sister, Rachel, was beautiful in form and appearance. Form is probably talking about her body. And appearance is talking about her face. Okay, all right, don't get too many images in your mind. But basically, like, you know, she was attractive. Okay, and what does it say? Jacob loved Rachel. It's like, oh, Jacob, oh, he's a pretty superficial guy right here. Well, you know, you don't expect anything more of him, right? He's Jacob we're talking about. So it says, oh, he loved Rachel. And you can already sense, like, hey, where is this going? You know, why is the Bible bringing this up already? It's going to create a lot of conflict right here. And this is how much Jacob loves Rachel. He says, I will serve you 7 years for your younger daughter, Rachel. Now, in those days, the bride price, usually the groom-to-be would offer a dowry or a payment, a price, to win over the woman and pay to her family, right? And usually that was about a sum where you would work, you know, usually you didn't work for it, you had the money, but if you had to work, it would be about 2 to 3 years tops. And Jacob's like, I work 7 years. It's like, oh, Jacob, where'd you go to business school? That's not like a good negotiating tactic, okay? But this is how much he loved Rachel. He's like, oh, man, she's so fine. I want, you know, like, oh, 7 years. And Laban's shrewd. You know what I mean? He's like, oh, snap, yo, this boy's desperate. Right, 7 years? So look at Laban's response, verse 19. He doesn't say yes. He doesn't say, okay, 7 years, I'll give her to you. He says, it's better that I give her to you than I should give her to any other man. What? He's starting to be deceitful already. He doesn't even say yes. And Jacob wants Rachel so much, he just takes that as a yes. Right? So he's working 7 years, and you know, so it's pretty moving right here what it says, verse 20. Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed to him but a few days because of the love he had for her. Man, he loved her a lot. He's working out in the fields, you know, out in the hot sun. Later on, we see, you know, in the cold of night, he says, often my sleep fled from my eyes. He's doing some hard work. And it says, 7 years seem like only a few days. That's how much he loved Rachel. We see even more how much he loved Rachel. Why? At the end of the 7 years, verse 20, 21, he says, Jacob said to Laban, give me my wife that I may go into her. For my time is completed. Okay, I'm preaching the Bible, right? I'm just explaining what that means. When it says that I may go into her, it means what you probably think it means. Okay? And you're like, oh man, this in the Bible? It's like, oh, what's the narrator doing? He's showing how much Jacob wants Rachel. Like how consumed he is. Like how could you want somebody else so much that you're just like this desperate, you're this bold, you're this forthright? This is an ancient culture. How many of you guys, like, you know, you're dating a girl and you want to go to her father and be like, hey, Mr. Kim or whatever, right? Like, hey, sir, yeah, you know, your daughter, I want to go into her. So can I marry her? Like we wouldn't even do that in our modern age. You know what I mean? Like, you know, we live in an age of sexual revolution, all that. We wouldn't even do that today. What's Jacob, man? Yo, Jacob, watch what you're saying, right? Yo, it's like, yo, this guy, yo, he's desperate. I mean, so he's so consumed with Rachel, and we see why, what's wrong with Jacob? He thinks, man, my life, everything's going wrong. You know, I messed up things with my brother, things with my dad. Even now I'm away from my mom. He actually will never see her again in the rest of his life. I just screwed up my entire life, but here's this woman. Here's this woman, and man, if I get her, if we can get married, if we have a relationship, oh man, you know, that's going to make everything right. That's going to put everything right in my life. He's put so much of his hope onto this one person. And he's so bold about it. And if we see that today, you know, some of you have actually experienced this. You felt this about a person. Right? Maybe you didn't work 7 years. But some of us, we think, oh, if I just meet that perfect person, you know, isn't the point of life just to meet that right person so that I can spend the rest of my life with this one person? You know, that perfect love, that one person who will understand me and love me, and we can go through our whole lives together. And if I just find that one person, and that's what Jacob's feeling right here. He's lost everything else, and he's like, oh, I've lost everything, but if I can get Rachel, then I'll be okay. Then it'll make everything else better. You know, everything else in my life is a mess, but just this one thing. Can you sense his desperation, his longing? And, you know, I think we can understand this because you know, in our day to day, many of us, we are doing this as well. Because we all need something to satisfy, to fill that inner void. Right? We need something to fill our hearts. And we look to one thing or another, and many of us, we look to a romantic relationship, a potential marriage. And we can tell that sometimes we put too much weight on it. You know, apocalyptic hope. What does that mean? We just put our whole life's hope into one person. And if that relationship doesn't work out, then we're devastated. Or even if it does work out, and you enter into that marriage, it's like, oh, this is not actually all I thought it was. This person is not the person I fully thought they were. How do we see that here in this passage too? Because Jacob, all right, you know, so basically there's more deception going on, right? Laban's a trickster, and he's only started, okay? So, you know, Jacob says, you know, give me my wife. My time is completed. Laban doesn't respond. It says, okay, he gathered all the people. He made a feast. He's throwing a party, right? All right, everybody's drinking. Everybody's having a good time, music, dancing, all this stuff, right? But in those days, back in the day, the groom wouldn't actually see the bride. She would be veiled the entire day. Okay, and then they would be having a good time. Jacob's probably getting drunk. Okay, he's having a grand old time. And it says, in the evening, verse 23, he took his daughter Leah and brought her to Jacob, and he went into her. It's like, Jacob, like, did you not see that it was Leah? You know, how did you not notice until the morning? You know, because, you know, back in the day, they didn't have electricity. Right, the light was dim, it was late at night, he was drunk, she was veiled, stuff happened, okay? Wakes up, verse 25, in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And Jacob said to Laban, what is this you have done? Did I not serve with you for Rachel? And Laban's like, it's not so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. And all of a sudden, Jacob's like, why'd you do this to me, Laban? Why did you deceive me? It's not so done in our country. Oh, okay. Serve me another 7 years. Okay. It's like, wait, Jacob. Yeah, like, why don't you fight for yourself, right? Why are you just taking this from Laban? What's Jacob doing? What is going on here? And what we see is that, you know, Jacob's not really a pushover. He fights, right? He's a schemer too. He knows how to fight for what he wants. But what he realizes here at this point is earlier in his life, he's the younger son, but he stole not only the older son, but the firstborn's blessing. See, back in those days, the firstborn got the double blessing, got the double portion. And he stole that blessing from his older brother. So now here he is in a different land, and Laban's like, not in our country. I don't know about where you're from, but not in our country, the younger doesn't go before the firstborn. Serve another 7 years. And all of a sudden, Jacob's like, what is this you've done? And then all of a sudden he realizes, oh, snap. Like, God's got me. Is that a coincidence? It's not so done in our country. You see, a lot of times we try to go against God's ways, God's purposes, God's will, and we try to do things in our own way. We think, God, what you're telling me to do, that doesn't make sense. I'm going to do it my own way. But you see, sooner or later, it's going to come back at you. You're going to pay the consequences for sin. And we see Jacob pays further consequences in the story. We'll see that in a few minutes. But finally, this was the moment where he realized face to face, like, what I've been doing all my life, I'm tasting my own medicine. Like, all the trouble and the bitterness that I caused to my own family, to my father Esau, who almost had a heart attack, to my older brother, I just ruined their lives. All this chaos, all this craziness is coming back to me. And he could try to fight for it, but at that point, he's speechless. It's not so done in our country. He's like, oh, like God knows. You see, a couple chapters earlier, actually one chapter earlier, God appears to Jacob in a dream. And he's like, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to make you great in number and like a big family, and I'm going to bring you back here. And all of a sudden, he's like, I'm going to bless you. But even as he knows that God's going to bless him, he knows, and many of us, we experience this, that, you know, if you go against God's ways, you're going to have to face up to it sooner or later. It took a few years for Jacob, but this is that moment. This is that moment. So what Laban says, hey, serve another 7 years. Complete the week. Well, what that, you know, he says complete the week. That means, you know, most wedding celebrations, they were about a week long. They were feasting. He says, okay, so finish the week of the older one, Leah's marriage, and then I'll give you Rachel, and then you can serve me another 7 years. Think about that week. How do you think Jacob felt? Like, devastated. Another 7 years? How do you think Laban's feeling? Got this guy his own medicine, right? Exactly what he did. See, Jacob met his match. And that's one thing we got to realize. Like, over and over again, we see this in Jacob's life. We think we can be wiser than God. The Bible says, do not be wiser than God in your own eyes. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. See, we may not pay the consequences right away, but it's going to come. And now Jacob, the deceiver, has been deceived. The betrayer has been betrayed. He's tasting his own medicine. So he works another 7 years. And, you know, Laban gives him his daughter, Rachel. And it says, verse 30, he loved Rachel more than Leah. And let me tell you something. At this point, we're like, wait, the Bible is giving us a story here where a guy's marrying two sisters. So is the Bible saying it's okay to have more than one wife? No, that's not what the Bible's saying. All right, if you read the New Testament, it says you got to be a husband of one wife, okay, monogamy. But back in those days, this was when God was still, you know, God, when God shows his will and his law and his ways, he shows it over time. It's progressive. It's what theologians call progressive revelation, right? So at this time, he hadn't revealed that yet. And so, but what we see is if you think the Bible's condoning bigamy, polygamy, all this kind of stuff, marrying two sisters, you don't understand the Bible, because look at what happens. There's so much, we didn't read this, but chapter 30, there's so much rivalry. There's so much sibling rivalry, hatred, so much tension, so much jealousy between these two sisters, Leah and Rachel. It's giving Jacob, it's making his life crazy. All right, we didn't get to read this. But let me just tell you, like, you need, you know, like, don't read the Bible so simplistically. But if the Bible is showing over and over again that everyone who marries more than one wife, their life is crazy and it's causing them so much pain, what the Bible's teaching is that that's not a good idea. That's how you read the Bible, right? You just gotta, okay? So it's causing so much chaos. And Jacob, he's still really immature in his faith. He's not mature. He's not a spiritual leader. He doesn't know how to lead his family. You know, he has no character. He deceives people. He gets deceived. Right now he's in this mess. And we see in chapter 3, I didn't want to read the whole passage because it's kind of long, right? But it's really good. And, you know, it says like Leah was not loved. So all of a sudden she feels rejected. She feels inferior. And every time she has a son, she's like, you know, she's trying to gain her husband's affection. This time my husband will love me. This time he will see me. This time he will hear me. So that's Leah's struggle. But Rachel, it says she was barren. She couldn't have children. And so, even in verse 30, the first verse says she envied her sister and she said to her husband Jacob, "Give me children or I shall die." It's like, oh, snap, yo, this is my Bible's so dramatic, right? These people. What's she talking about there? Do you sense that rivalry? And Jacob's in the middle of this. One wife is unloved. The other wife can't have children. Both of them feel inferior. Both of them are wrestling, struggling, you know, and all this crazy stuff. And how's Jacob handling it? Give me children or shall I die? And how does Jacob respond? Verse 2. Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel. Not a very good, sensitive, gentle, understanding response as a husband. Okay, and he said, "Am I in the place of God who has withheld from you the fruit of the womb? Am I God that I can give you children?" It's like, marriage premarital seminar 101. Don't say that to your wife if she can't have children. Like, how come we're not having children? Am I in the place of God? No, don't do that, right? Okay, Jacob, he's not a spiritual leader. He's still really immature. Okay, because earlier in the book of Genesis, we see other childless women. And we see Abraham and Isaac praying for them. And it says God heard their prayer. It's like, oh, Jacob didn't learn that lesson yet. I mean, he's still a mess. He's still coming to know God. He's still early on in his faith journey. Right? He hasn't grown to that place of maturity. He doesn't know how to lead his family. It's causing all this chaos. He's married two sisters. All this electric tension and strife and rivalry. And Jacob doesn't know what to do. Right? It's a mess. And basically, what we're seeing here is that, see, Jacob's paying the consequences for his foolishness and for his sin. He thought his life would be made complete when he found the woman of his dreams. How did he meet Rachel? We didn't read this, but a few verses earlier in chapter 29, it says he met her at a well. Earlier in Genesis, another man also met a woman at a well. Abraham sent his servant to find a wife for his son Isaac, and that servant went to a far land. He met a woman at a well. Her name was Rebecca. He was prayerful. He was discerning. Is this the right woman? He was seeking the Lord, and he brought her, the woman, back. Isaac and Rebecca, you hear nothing only good about their marriage. It's like, here, another guy meets a woman at a well, and this time, their marriages. You don't want to be in this marriage. You know, you don't want to be Jacob. What's it saying here? So you got to read the book of Genesis in context as a whole, right? There's a right way and a wrong way to seek a relationship. Okay, and you got to see this through the two examples. Right? The first example, prayerful, seeking God's will, looking at her character. It says Rebecca was strong. She brought water to feed like dozens of camels. And, you know, I don't know. I'm not an expert on camels. Okay, I didn't study camels in uni. But what I heard is camels drink a lot of water. Liters, right? I'm thinking gallons. Okay, they drink like dozens of liters per camel. And she fed and watered, I can't remember exactly how, but it was more than 10 camels. It's like, that's a lot of water. And, you know, back in those days, it wasn't like a faucet. She had to bring it up from a well. She had to feed all these camels by her hands. Like, she had character. You know, she had diligence. She was willing to work. You know, and she had all these things that he was very discerning. Jacob, on the other hand, she's beautiful in form and appearance. I'll serve 7 years. And he's not very discerning. He gets tricked. He enters into the relationship. I'm making a lot of jokes. Okay, but what I'm trying to say is that there's a right way and a wrong way to enter into a relationship. And a lot of times, if we're like Jacob, and we just feel like, I love this person. I just need this person in my life. If I have this person, you know what I mean? Like, and you're not being prayerful about it. You're not seeking the Lord's will about it. You're not looking at what God wants in a marriage. But you're just like, but they fill my void. They fill my needs, what I need, my desires. And when we enter a relationship like that, there's consequences. Marriage is sought in the right way. You know, like marriage is tough. Okay, every marriage has its trials. But I'm saying, like, man, the marriage that Jacob was in, that's really hard and unnecessary. Okay? But, you know, I think we also see a lot of grace here. Like, oh, man, Pastor Paul, you're being so harsh. Oh, yeah. Okay, but there's a lot of grace here, too. Right? Because what we see in the Bible is so realistic. I love the Bible. Because it's not like one of those books where it sugarcoats everything and like they had a happy marriage and they live happily ever after. No, it's like, look at this mess of a life that they're in. But then if you continue reading, it's like God's grace is over every single page. Even when they sin and they put themselves in their own mess, God's grace still reaches in. And God's grace still redeems even the most broken lives and the most broken marriages, and the most broken families. It's like, I love the Bible. It's so real. And that's what the grace of God is like. You know, so many people think, Christianity is about being good. And if you meet God's standards, then God's going to bless you. God's going to give you a good life. And the Bible is about these really great heroes of the faith who lived really virtuous and noble lives. And if we can be like them, it's like, is it the right Bible? Holy Bible. Jacob did nothing right. And it's like, God says, I'm going to bless you. It's like, why? You know, this guy's messed up. He's making so many mistakes. He's so dumb in so many things, decisions he makes and how he leads his life. And what we see is, what is the Bible about? The Bible is not about, we obey God, we meet his standards, and then he blesses us. No, the Bible is about we live in a broken world, and all of us are so broken, and God's grace reaches into the middle of our lives exactly where we are. He meets us, and he redeems us in our brokenness. And it's like, man, I love the Bible. It's God's grace all over this. Jacob's life is so broken. He's so broken. He meets Rachel first day. He's weeping. He's so desperate for this. He thinks Rachel's going to heal his life and all his wounds and all his pain. And it's not. And he doesn't know. He's so confused and he's so lost. And he doesn't know how to bring leadership to his family. And he's just made a mess not only of his own life, but his two wives and his children. And it's like God's grace is going to break in anyway. And God's going to redeem him and even use him to bless the nations. That's the gospel. That's the grace of God. See, we don't need stories of heroes who do noble things. Yeah, there's people in the Bible who do good things. But if you read the Bible, like front to back, so we see Jacob here, we see Moses, he murders a dude, thinking he could save Israel. We see David, who not only murders, he commits adultery while he's king. He murders one of his best friends who's committed to him. We see over and over again, Peter denies Jesus 3 times in public. It's like, what's going on? It's the grace of God. And, you know, some of us feel like, oh, man, you know, I can't really go to church until I fix my life. You know, God won't accept me. You know, just look at the life I'm living. Look at how many mistakes I've made. Look how far I've been. I'm so lost. I'm so broken. And the Bible says, just come to Jesus. Just come to God. Like, we are never too far from the reach of God's grace. That he will meet us where we are. And as we look to him, and as we trust in him, and as we seek him, yeah, we're going to continue to make mistakes. Jacob continues to make mistakes. But God's grace is going to meet us. Now there's a real hope. There's a real mercy. That's who God is, right? Don't you want some of that? You know, even though, you know, God won't spare us necessarily from all the consequences of our mistakes. If we go against his will, if we go against his ways, right, and we purposely, no, then he's going to allow us to experience the consequences, but he'll still be with us if we seek him, if we come to him, and he'll walk us through, and he'll be with us and guide us, and it's like, wow. That's the grace of God. That's the grace of God. So that's Jacob. But there's also other characters in this story. And we see there's Leah. Leah's a big character. I love Leah. I really like Leah. She was not that attractive. Okay. Imagine growing up with a younger sister who's like really beautiful. And you're not even average. You know what I mean? Okay, that wasn't supposed to be funny, but, you know, that's tough, right? And, yeah, you know, she grows up like that, and it says, Jacob loved Rachel, Jacob loved Rachel, Jacob loved Rachel. How do you think, you know, they got married, he wakes up in the morning, Leah! Leah! What are you doing? Leah's like, oh, man. Hey, this is what marriage is like, you know? Like, I'm sorry if I shook you, right? But how is he thinking? It says, verse 25, and in the morning, behold, it was Leah. Jacob's like, what is this, Leah? I don't want Leah. I love Rachel. Actually, I got to make one point here, right? All the commentators say, this is a key point. In the morning, it was Leah. You see, so many of us, we look for a Rachel in our lives. And we work hard, 7 years, whatever it takes. We think this thing, this Rachel that I get is going to make me happy, is going to satisfy my life. It could be a person. It could be a romantic relationship. It could be making a lot of money, getting a lot of success in your career. If I get career success, I'll work more than 7 years. I'll work day and night. I'll work so hard. You know, I'll give up all these other things in my life if I could just get that. It could be what other people think of you. And you'll work so hard to get people to like you. It could be so many different things. It could be, oh, travel. If I just travel and explore and see the world, then that's going to make me happy and satisfy. It's like we look to so many things. Oh, we think it's going to satisfy. It's going to make my life complete. And what it says here is, in the morning, it was Leah. We think we're seeking a Rachel. And every single time, it is Leah. It's like, Pastor Paul, that's so depressing. You know, that's a mistake. No, seriously, this is what the Bible teaches. That everything we can seek in this world, no matter what it is, you could be working so hard, you could be going after this so much, and yet, if you get it, you're going to be disappointed. it's going to leave you feeling empty. No matter how good it is. No, I'm not even talking about if you fail to get it. Yeah, if you fail to get it, it's going to be hard. But even if you achieve it, even if you marry that person, even if you reach that career success, even if your wildest dreams, you achieve it all. In the morning, it is Leah. Over and over again in the Bible. You talk to the successful people out there in the world. Are they happy? Are they joyful? You read about celebrities. I'm not a celebrity junkie, okay? But I just like to read about them for preaching, for my teaching, right? Anyways, like, man, when I read about celebrities, not all of them, but like most of them, man, they got issues. You know, they got problems. Right? You talk to people who make a lot of money, who are successful. Like, hey, was it satisfying? No, every single time. And, you know, C.S. Lewis was saying, like, you know, even the best possible things, you know, it could be a love relationship. It could be travel to a foreign country. It could be career success. It could be studying a new subject that fascinates you. Whatever it is, even if you get it, even if you experience the best possible version of it, in the morning, it will always be Leah. It will always disappoint. But see, so many of us, what we do is we don't seek to be satisfied with God. We seek to satisfy our hearts, that inner emptiness, that inner void, with all these other things. And the Bible says those things can't satisfy you. They're created things. You are made for a creator who is glorious, who is majestic, who is powerful. And yet, the Bible says we've exchanged the glory of God for created things. Like a career is going to satisfy the deepest longings of your heart. And the Bible's like, no, it's not. We think it is. You get it? It's Leah. It's like, Rachel. Oh, it's Leah. You were drunk. You were blind. It was dark. There was a veil. You couldn't see. And, you know, some of you are young. Actually, all of you are young. Well, most of you. Yeah, most of you guys. Because I'm 30. You know, most of y'all in your 20s, some of you guys early 20s, you're like wide-eyed. You're like, oh man, you know, I just want this career, right? And if I can make it in this career and achieve all my dreams, you know what I mean? I'm working so hard. I'm going to school. I'm doing all this work, and man, if I achieve that, oh man. And I'm just like, Lord, please. No, it's good that you're excited, right? But if you have this, if you put this like incredible hope in your career. It's like, it's not going to be like that. You know, some of you are like, oh, this relationship. I'm so in love. This person makes me happy. Let me tell you something. Like, it's going to cause you some pain. It's going to be hard. It's not going to be all that you dreamed it to be. Yeah, the Bible says marriage is good, right? A godly relationship before the Lord. Yeah, there's a lot of good. The Bible celebrates it. But it's not going to be, if you're putting your whole life hope into that person, into that relationship, it's going to be Leah. I just want to, you know, I'm sorry for bursting your bubble if, you know, if you're young, but this is what the Bible says. And we got to learn to understand that and to live with that, right? And what's the solution? You see, we see this in the last few verses. Leah starts to bear children. I love this. It says, verse 31, when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. It's like Rachel's loved. Leah is unloved. It says she was hated. It's like, think about that. As a wife, the Bible says under four things, the earth can't even stand up in the book of Proverbs. One of those four things is when an unloved woman gets married. It's like, oh, snap. That causes a lot of chaos, a lot of craziness. And it says, but think about that pain, right? She was hated by her own husband. And what does she do? She bears a son. Rachel can't have children yet. But Leah bears a son. She calls the name Reuben, which means, look, a son. Now my husband will see me. He's been looking through me all these years. Now he will see me because I have a son. Can you sense her longing, how desperately she wants her husband's love. Second son, Simeon, because the Lord heard. God hears me. She thinks, yeah, now my pain will be okay. Third son, Levi, means my husband will be attached to me. Like over and over again, she thinks, I'm going to get my husband's love. I'm going to get my husband's love. Now my husband will love me. If I just bear a son, now I've had three sons. Isn't that everything he could have ever wanted? I've done everything that you've wanted, Jacob. Look, three sons. Aren't you happy with me? Don't you love me? And over again, she's disappointed. But what do we see here? The fourth son. She names him Judah, which means praise. And this time, she doesn't talk about her husband. She says nothing about her husband. She says, this time, I will praise the Lord. All these years, I was desperately seeking for my husband's love, for his affection. I was so unloved. All these years, I've been longing for this, but this time, I'll praise the Lord. I've been seeking for something to satisfy me, but finally, I realized what that is. It's the Lord. I will praise the Lord. Not dependent on my circumstances, not dependent on what other external things are going on in my life, but if I have God, if I have the Lord, then I can be happy. Then I can praise. And you see, it's amazing because this son, Judah, Pastor Christian talked about this a little bit last week. He was a very important son. Jacob had 12 sons, but only one would go on to be the great, 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 great grandfather of King David, who was the greatest king in Israel. And he was also the great, 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 great grandfather of Jesus. See, Pastor Christian was talking about Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He came through the line of Judah. So God's like, this time you will praise me. Now you've seen, I'm gonna use you, Leah, to bless the entire world. Through your family, through your line, I'm going to bring a Savior into the world. A Savior who knew what it was like to be unloved. Just like Leah. The Bible says Jesus was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He was rejected by men. He came to love the world, and the world rejected him. They hated him. They yelled at him. They crucified him on a cross when he did nothing wrong. He was rejected. He knew the pain that Leah had to go through. But when God saw Leah, man, can you sense God's love and compassion and how God works his purpose? Man, the way God works is so mysterious. We can't understand it. We can't figure him out with our worldly minds. We would think, oh, the beautiful wife should be the one that's blessed. No, it's Leah. Over and over again in the Bible, it wasn't Jacob, the younger. No, it wasn't Esau, the older. It was Jacob, the younger. Back in those days, the firstborn was a special one. God says, no. I don't work the way the world works. I use the foolish to shame the wise. I use the weak to shame the strong. I use the things that are not to put to shame the things that are. Over and over again, we see the way God works is he uses the weak, he uses the oppressed, he uses the downtrodden, he uses the broken. Because that's grace. The world says, oh, the strong, the successful, the capable. And God's like, I don't work the way the world does. And I love this. I love Jacob. I love Leah. Because this is my story. This is what God did with me. And this is what God has done with so many of us here in this room, is that we were broken. We were messed up. We made so many mistakes. We sinned so many times. We put ourselves in our own predicament, in our own mess. And God's like, I want to use you. Like, Paul, there's nothing good in you. I want to use you. It's like, God, why? I've done nothing right in my life. That's my grace. That's my grace to use the things that are not, the things that are despised. That's the gospel. Like, don't. And God says, if you know me, if you come to know me, and you put me as a thing that's going to satisfy your heart and your deepest desires, then no longer it's going to be, it was Leah. No, you're going to find what you were looking for. All the other things out in the creation, it's always going to be Leah. But in the Lord, have you come to the point in your life where you could say, this time, I will praise the Lord. Even when things go wrong, that's a good test. Can you praise the Lord when things, everything goes wrong in your life? When that relationship gets broken, when you lose that job, when you're getting messed up in your life, can you come and say, I will praise the Lord? Everything I wanted, he's taking away from me, but I will praise the Lord. Because I didn't come to God to get those other things. I came to God to get God. He's the one I want. He's the one I need. He's the one that satisfies. Have you come to that point? Jacob took a long time to get there. Leah took the fast track. Actually, I guess not that fast. Four children, right? That's kind of a long time. You know, Jacob still needed some more time. See, what God does is, man, Jacob, like, didn't God love Jacob? What? Why is he going through all this mess? Yeah, because God loved Jacob, he's putting him through this mess. He's putting him in contact with people like Laban. It's like, oh, I don't want to work for a guy like Laban. I don't want to work for that employer. He's not a Christian. He does unethical things. Well, sometimes, you know, God puts Jacob with Laban. Sometimes God puts us with those kind of people to test us, to train us, to mold our character, to teach us. Because that's what he needed to do with Jacob. I mean, 20 years. Eventually, he served 20 years for Laban. And through that process, he's molding Jacob into the kind of man that he wants him to be. And a lot of times God puts us through tough situations. It's like, God, why? Like, what are you doing here? Maybe he's doing something like Jacob in your life. Maybe he's trying to teach you like Leah. Like, how come I'm not Rachel? How come I'm like Leah? It's like, he's trying to teach you more than all those other things. More than beauty, more than romance, more than success, whatever it is. What you need is God. This time, I'll praise the Lord. All right, let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your grace. God, what amazing grace. Yeah, your grace is just so real. God, yeah, many of us, we feel like Jacob, or we felt like him, or we feel like him right now. Just, we've made a mess of our lives. We've fallen short of your ways. But Lord, we thank you for your grace. That no matter where we are, that you meet us, that we are never too far, that we are never without hope, because you're a God of grace. You sent your son Jesus to die for us so that we might know you. So God, I pray that you would release a fresh hope, God, upon every heart in this room, Lord. Reveal who you are, God, and bring us through, bring us to that place where we could say, no matter what else is happening, This time, I'll praise the Lord, that we will praise you. No matter how, what a storm we may be going through in our lives, no matter what might be going on, that we could say with our mouths and with our hearts that we will praise you for all of our lives, God, because you are good. You are faithful. Yeah. And so we thank you, Lord, for who you are. In Jesus' name, pray.